superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
I'm going to say this as straightforward as I possibly can. The New York Jets have broken Sam Darnold.
Available now on The Rich Eisen Show app. Earlier on the show, New Orleans Saints defensive end Cameron Jordan.
Still to come.
Seattle Seahawks wide receiver Tyler Lockett. Host of NBC's The Weakest Link, Jane Lynch. Plus host of Fox's Cosmos Possible Worlds, Neil deGrasse Tyson. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, TJ Jefferson cannot make a putt today, but we are not letting that get us down. We're not letting that get us down. Hour two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. We talked in hour one with Cameron Jordan. Just hung up from Cameron Jordan of the New Orleans Saints. He's got a new podcast. I let you know my 2 cents on Doc Rivers last night's Monday night football game, which was the Chiefs just letting everybody know they are the team to beat once again on the 2020 NFL season. That for two teams, the pause button has been hit. We're keeping an eye on the breaking story out of Tennessee. The Tennessee Titans have gotten 8 positive tests for COVID-19. 3 players, 5 members of the staff, the personnel staff, and it appears that those are not false positives. According to reports, they reran the tests. All 8 came back the same. So we're crossing our fingers that the contact tracing that the NFL has put in place and discovered 48 individuals coming within close contact with the 8 that tested positive, that we have caught it in time and that there will be no other positive tests. So far, there aren't any for the Vikings. The Vikings and the Titans have been told to stay out of their facilities till Saturday. The Steelers, who are taking on the Titans, you want to talk about a big game, the 3-0 Steelers versus the 3-0 Titans, the Steelers have been told that it's possible that the game gets postponed, and the Texans sitting at 0-3. Boy, if they ever needed to get out there and get a win, the Texans have been told the same thing about the Vikings. And, of course, wins and losses don't mean anything when we're talking about this virus, this awful virus, and the number of members of the staff and coaching staff that could be exposed to it that are of an age that puts them in an age group that makes this an even more dreadful disease to fight off. But for the moment, we're waiting to hear any news, and so I'm sure as the NFL, with all the testing that's available, they're going to find out who's got it, and hopefully people who don't have it, they retest negative enough times in a row that everything can keep working out. We're going to keep an eye on all that. The actress Jane Lynch, who's dynamite in everything that she does, and she's the host of the reboot version of The Weakest Link on NBC and also on Peacock, she'll join us this hour. Neil deGrasse Tyson, hour number 3. He's been booked for a few weeks, and we have a lot of science questions for him, right, Chris?
Indeed, we do.
Got to talk to him about the flat Earth strategy.
Flat Earth.
About Kyrie Irving.
Deflated balls.
And what's the other one that you want to bring up?
I want to know about the suction rate of the Dolan wormhole.
Oh, the Dolan wormhole. Whenever I mention James Dolan, and I get...
And you just get sucked in. Like, why is that? Yeah.
Okay. There's lots to talk about with Neil deGrasse Tyson later on. But this gentleman caught no fewer than 3 touchdown passes. 3 touchdown passes in the first half for the 3-0 Seattle Seahawks. And he is the 3rd player to be awarded the Snickers Hungriest Player of the Week chain. And he's the 1st player to be awarded the Snickers chain for the 2nd year in a row. How about that? Breaking new ground. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show is Tyler Lockett of the Seattle Seahawks. How are you, Tyler?
Doing pretty good. How's everybody doing today?
We are doing better for talking to you. You are a dynamite football player that seems to be improving with each passing game, just like your quarterback and team. But before I get to all of that, I do want to put right in front of you your thoughts upon hearing your colleagues in Tennessee, 3 of them on the football field, 5 of them in the personnel department that tested positive for coronavirus. What goes through your head when you do that, when you hear that, Tyler?
I mean, it's very unfortunate. You know, we've been in a time that nobody really thought would ever happen. It's been a pandemic that slowed a lot of things down. And this was just the concern that a lot of people had when they were trying to figure out whether they wanted to play or not. But we trust that the NFL and NFLPA did exactly what needed to be done within the protocols that allowed us to come up here, that allowed us to feel safer, to be able to come out here and play and to play exactly what we're doing this for. So we trust that the protocol is going to be able to help out, but we also just going to keep in prayers everybody that ended up testing positive and just praying that no harm is going to be done, but that everybody will just continually be safe.
Well, and again, we just never know how you can contract this virus. I mean, we can guess, and obviously, you know, with families and that everyone is going home to, you never know. But that said, what is the conversation that you've had? And we know there was an incident in the preseason where a teammate of yours got cut for seemingly playing a little bit fast and loose with everything. What's the conversation you've had internally there about staying safe and going home and staying home and being vigilant about it, Tyler?
Well, I mean, you know, that was like a false positive for us. But I think the biggest thing is just we all have to do our part in order to be able to stay safe. So if we do have family come out here, if we do have friends come out here, like, you know, we have it set up to where we can try to get our families tested and stuff like that, to be able to make sure that we're keeping everybody safe. I think that's the biggest thing that you could do. Everybody just has to be able to do their part. That still doesn't mean that you can't contract the virus, but it just puts us at a better situation to not be able to get it. And so I think, like you said, you can think about how do you contract it? How can you not? All those different types of things. But I think it just creates so much anxiety. It's almost just you just got to be able to just figure out what happens if you end up getting it. But you can't live in fear your whole life. But you got to do what you can to protect yourself at the same time.
Tyler Lockett here on the Rich Eisen Show. And before we do get to the football, I do want to stay on the life issues with you because you've got a lot more on the figurative ball than just football. Last time you came on, I think you came on to talk about some of your poetry, and you've written some poems. I know that in the NFL Network, we aired a piece of your poem being read by many of your colleagues across the NFL on the issues of social justice, and I'd love to give you the floor on that, Tyler, and how everything is going about you getting your message and the conversation out and the conversation continuing.
Well, I'm thankful that the NFL gave me an opportunity. They came to me with an amazing idea and asked if I'd be willing to write a piece, and, you know, I took the opportunity. Thought it was a really great piece. I got a lot of great feedback from a lot of people, especially from back home or people I talked to my family about it. And just thankful that a lot of people in the league came across to want to be a part of the video, and just the way that it was displayed, the way that it went, I thought it was really amazing. I thought that it got our point across of everything that it was during that video that we wanted to present to each and every person. Just with everything that's going on, I think we all just have to figure out our role, what it is that we feel our part is in this to be able to make a difference, because not everybody's going to have the same part. We all play different parts in the body, and every part is going to be significant to being able to bring and promote change. And so I think that for me, I'm trying to find my part, and I'm continually to find a way to be able to present the message that I want to be able to display, and to be able to not only bridge the gap, but to eliminate that gap to where we can all be seen as one.
Yeah, reality versus perception is the poem that you penned, and everyone should go to NFL.com to see the reading of it. Included Aaron Donald, Saquon, Adrian Peterson, and more. It really was very moving and just beautiful, Tyler. It really was, and I'm glad to hear that you got the reaction that you got. What about next steps before, again, we get to the football and everything else? What about next steps here for you?
There's a lot of different steps that you could take, but like I said, a lot of people are just coming up with a lot of different ways, and a lot of people are coming up with documentaries and just different things like that to be able to get the point across. I think for me, it's being able to use, you know, my performance and arts to be able to get it across in different ways. whether it's poetry, whether it's me standing up, being able to speak, whether it's being able to, like I said, bridge the gap. I think it's just, it's not just one step that's going to make everything right. It's going to be multiple steps that's going to be taken, but everybody just has to continue to move in the same direction. So for me, even, you know, if I have people that are Caucasian that I hang out around or that I know, like if they come to me and they ask questions and they want to know, like I'm able to present it to them. But I try to talk to people who want to learn, who want to know more, who want to understand, rather than people who just don't want to talk about it at all or who's just blind to the fact of what's actually going on. So I try to do the best that I can to talk to people and to give them information and knowledge, to tell them to watch certain TV shows or certain movies, such as like Detroit or even just Mercy or the 13th documentary on Netflix. Like, try to just get them to see a lot of this stuff so they can understand what it's like that we go through if they've never even tried to pay attention to it.
Tyler Lockett here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let us move to your football team and the offense that appears so explosive. The conversation has been about the hashtag Let Russ Cook, that the offense is different. Is it different this year, Tyler? You do anything differently?
I mean, I think we're just taking more chances than we usually have done. I think that the best part about us right now is that we're playing aggressive and we're not allowing the defense to determine what we do as an offense. We're going to be the one to push the buttons of the defense. And I think that's one of the best things about what we're doing this year. I think we got a lot of great players on our team that's able to make plays. And so doesn't matter what teams do what against us, we have a lot of great players in different positions that can be able to make highlighted type plays. And so for us, just being able to have the opportunity to go out there and play, when we see what teams are trying to do, who they're trying to take away, we're able to exploit matchups and exploit coverages that will help benefit us.
So normally I know you don't want to talk about anything that goes on internally, but have you reviewed film of DK Metcalf's first would-be touchdown? And if so, how much crap has he received, or how much do you think he will receive if you have yet to go over that film session, Tyler Lockett?
No, we already went over the film session and stuff, but it was just, you know, a casual conversation to just, you know, make sure you just play all the way through, you know, wait until the whistle is blown or wait until, you know, you're in the end zone. But, you know, ultimately, like, we trust DK and we weren't worried about that play at all. A lot of people might really highlight that play and make it look more significant than it really was. But, I mean, we wouldn't have won the game had Russ not thrown him the ball and he scored that last-minute touchdown. So it ended up working out. And so it's more so of a learning experience rather than a history lesson. And so I think for us, love, you know, it, we're grateful that we were able to get the win, and we know that it's a learning experience, not only for him, but for all of us. You can either learn by experiencing it, or you can learn by going through it. And so for a lot of us in the room, a lot of us as a unit, we just learned about it as we went through it together. But the thing about us is we pick each other up and we continue to play. We don't dwell off of one mistake. We don't dwell off of one bad play. We just continue to play and we continue to fight, and that's what makes us as a team so special.
Well, in terms of what's special too, Tyler, you know, a third-round draft choice where you had to really prove yourself and then make the most of your opportunity is something that would describe your quarterback as well as you. I'm wondering if you have any inspiration from what you saw of Russell did with his opportunity and what you've blossomed into for him, with him, what you're experiencing together right now, Tyler.
Yeah, well, I think, honestly, I think it's just the power of who you're doing this for and why you're playing the game. A lot of people have a goal of being able to get to the NFL, and that's what the goal has always been ever since they were a little kid. Once they get to the NFL, what's the goal now? You've already accomplished the very thing that you set out to accomplish as a kid, but you have to continue to be willing to set goals for yourself or continue to be willing to stay true to why you decided to play this game in the first place. And I think that's what separates a lot of guys that stay in the league and a lot of guys who just end up being in the league. There's so many distractions that come with being in the NFL that some people get swayed by those distractions, and they never reach their full potential of who they could have became in the league. And so I think when you look at me and Russ, like, we have our reasons of why we play, and that's what motivates us. That's what inspires us. When we don't feel like practicing or don't feel like going into a game, like the very foundation, the root of why we do it always allows us to excel in trying to be better every single step of the way as we play. And really it's just about being given an opportunity. Once you're given that opportunity, it's on you. You can't look at it and say, well, I got to play my cards right, or I got to hope this person gets hurt, or this person. No, you just go do what you do. You know, if you focus on your gift will make room for you, and that's just what's been happening. The more you perfect it, the more that you master it, the more doors that'll be open to you. But you got to be faithful over a little before you can become ruler over much more.
I love that answer, Tyler Lockett. And when I say that, I don't mean like you. It's a pat answer. It's beautiful. It's amazing. It's inspirational. It's awesome. That's I can't wait to replay that over and over again for my audience. That's incredible. You know, all that said, though, I gave you a choice. You only have two choices. This sports talk radio conversation. Your first half, 3-touchdown performance. What gave you more enjoyment? That this past weekend? That or Kansas State coming back and sticking it to Oklahoma? Which one gives you more joy, Tyler Lockett?
Oklahoma, for sure.
That gives you more pleasure.
Because I was definitely upset we lost to Arkansas State.
Okay.
And I was a little worried. I was like, man, you know, we might get beat by OU if we, you know, if we play like that versus Arkansas State. But I seen one of my teammates, his name is Keenan. He had posted on Facebook, you know, usually when we go down to OU, we usually beat OU. And I remember, like, yeah, when I was there, we beat OU at OU twice. And so I had told some of my teammates, like, usually when we play down there, we do beat them. And then they came all the way back and won. So I was definitely excited to see them being able to have that victory, especially with all the times and stuff that's going on. But that was a big confidence boost just because of what happened that week when we lost to Arkansas State. But it just shows that we're still the team that we are and that teams can't sleep on us.
I guess not. No doubt. That was a hell of a win. That said, your performance did get you the Snickers chain that's awarded to the player who's shown the most hunger for their big plays and moments on the field. And on your Twitter handle and on your social media handles, what does a chain look like for those who might not see it, Tyler?
Man, I tell you what, the chain is definitely amazing. Being able to just wear it, and even when you wear it, it'll say, like, hungry at the bottom. Like, and the best part about it, though, is, like, Ben Baller made the chain, and he's a big-time Seahawks fan, if a lot of people don't know. And so just being able for him to award it to a Seahawks player, that's big time. And honestly, to have the opportunity to be able to win it twice, to win it last year and to be able to win it this year, and to know that I'm the first person that did that, like, that's a blessing. You know, that's truly a blessing for me. I give God all the glory with that. And I'm just excited to be able to have the chain, to wear the chain. I think Snickers is doing an amazing job with this whole concept of what it means to be hungry. And even when you get it, that doesn't mean that, you know, you're done and that you're satisfied. It just means that the hunger has to continue to build. It has to continue to grow. It has to continue to push you. And so for me, I'm just hungry. And honestly, like, I want more. Like, this makes you want to be able to do more and be more. And it's not only for my own success, but it's also to be able to be hungry to serve others, because that's when you become more successful.
Tyler Lockett at TD Lockett 12. Everyone should check that out on Twitter and Instagram. Comeback win for your alma mater, 3 touchdowns in the first half, 3-0 team, the chain. It's all good in your world, and we appreciate just being rent payers for this conversation. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Let's chat soon. That's Tyler Lockett. I'm not kidding with what I just said. I love that answer. Please rip that and put it on our Twitter feed.
On it.
Please. I love people who are inspired and do the most with their opportunity and say it's inside you. And I'll say it again. The coach who provides the platform and the space in the NFL for anybody to get the chance and succeed, it's Pete Carroll. One of the big hits that put the Cowboys in a tough position to try and win that game on Sunday, Shaquem Griffin. Mm-hmm. Shaquem Griffin, who was not active until week three, who came in there and made the big hit? Him. Gosh. I just love stories like that, and his, and obviously Tyler Lockett, and fun stuff. Your phone calls later on in this hour, but we coming up next. I love this woman, and I don't care who knows it. Jane Lynch delights me in everything she does, including the conversation we're about to have. Shop local with Visa to help support your community, because where you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be.
Sports keep coming back. So does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Major League Baseball is now in full swing, and the NBA has also begun. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit BetOnline today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One. BetOnline to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
NBC Sports on Peacock. We're right in the middle of your day right here on this channel. The NBC Sports Net audience will rejoin us. Our terrestrial radio audience will rejoin us in just about 60 seconds time. That's when we'll bring in Jane Lynch. Have we checked on a poll question today? Have we uncorked it yet today?
We have uncorked. We have not checked.
Okay, go for it. What do we have?
Looking at the team in the AFC, best chance, biggest threat to knock off the Chiefs.
Okay, that's right.
Ravens, Steelers, Bills, Pats. You want to thumb it right now?
No,
you
I don't want to thumb it yet. I'm going to still...
Steelers and Bills, neck and neck. 33% Steelers, 31% Bills.
Where are the Ravens?
Ravens are last, 16%.
Because we just saw...
We just saw what happened, yeah.
We just saw what happened.
Patriots, 20%. I'm getting some Twitter complaints about no Titans on there. Like I said yesterday, they're the luckiest 3-0 team in the league.
Well, you are what you are. And I would say they're somewhat unlucky based on what just happened.
Indeed.
But you didn't know that yesterday when you
I did not know that yesterday when I called them lucky. I was like 3 wins by 6 points. That's lucky.
I know. But also you win tight games. Ask the Dallas Cowboys how tough that is. I'm sorry. I keep returning to your misery,
TJ Jefferson.
Falcons
as well.
You liked me, Rich. I understand what the problem here is.
All right. We're just 15 seconds away from our quadcast audience rejoining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. Neil deGrasse Tyson still to come as well in your phone calls at 844-204-RICH. Okay, our quadcast family is back together right here on NBCSN and Peacock. And on NBC tonight, the rebooted The Weakest Link. It's going to be every Tuesday night at 8 Eastern time. And the host is the lady who put the glee in Glee. She puts the marvelous in the marvelous Mrs. Maisel. And most importantly, as we all know, helped Dr. Richard Kimball figure out who switched the samples.
Switched samples.
And saved the day in The Fugitive. She is none other than the 4-time Emmy Award winner, Jane Lynch, back here on The Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Jane?
I'm so good. I love that you referenced the liver sample mystery from The Fugitive.
RG,
that's awesome.
Come on, Jane. Let's not forget that way before you won all of these awards, that was a very... Without you, I mean, Richard Kimball might still be in jail, if I'm not mistaken.
He'd be still on the run. Can you imagine? He'd be like 7 months over, still on the run.
Exactly, and we don't need that. We needed the finish that we needed.
Exactly, and Tommy Lee Jones would have been still chasing after him. They'd be so tired at this point.
Exactly. By the way, that is maybe one. It's in one of my top five remote drop movies. The Fugitive literally has caused me to miss appointments, not go where I need to go. I mean, it's just a remote drop.
So well done. It's such a well done movie. Absolutely, I'm very honored that I had a little part in it. One of my first movie roles.
Now, was that like Chicago ties that you wound up in that film?
Yeah, you know, the woman who was his, Andy Davis's, who directed it, his assistant, somehow talked him into giving me that part. And it was a part originally written for a guy, which is, I tend to get a lot of those parts in my history. And for some reason, he cast me. He didn't even meet me. He trusted her.
Exactly. I know that. Yeah. But what was it like for you, though, to be thrown into a scene with Harrison Ford?
Oh, my God. You know, it's one of those things. You're nervous. It's like when I work with Meryl Streep, too. You're nervous. You know what you're getting into. And you know that these are like the biggest stars in Hollywood. And you just have to show up and do your job. You have to like push all that nervousness aside. And you have to be a worker among workers, you know, because if you go in there as like a fan, you're not going to get your job done. So I had the wisdom to know that. So I just showed up and, you know, it was actor. And we got along very well. And he's not the easiest guy to get along with. And he and I, we worked some stuff out together because he didn't like the script for our scene. So it was raining that day. We went into his trailer and he held the umbrella over my head.
Okay.
And we worked out the dialogue. And it was a real joy.
Hold on a second now. So you're saying it's your first job, okay?
Yeah.
You get the
one
gig.
One of your first jobs,
film roles, okay. So you get the gig, Jane Lynch, and now it's time for the scene, and Harrison Ford's like, this script is garbage, or something like that. And let's you and I go workshop it. That literally happened.
Yeah, that literally happened, and we workshopped it. It was great. He was so nice to me. And, you know, we worked out. We, like, improvised back and forth. We figured it out.
Fantastic.
It was nice. I mean, I actually worked with him as an actor. And there's nothing like that to, like, break the spell. You just get to work.
And then again, it just cracked the RDU-90 code. It just cracked the case wide open.
Oh, my gosh. You really remember this.
Am I freaking you out right now, Jane?
A little bit. Because that's the name of the drug, right? That was RDU-90.
Yes, correct.
It's the name of the drug.
And Dr. Nichols lied to Tommy Lee Jones and all of that stuff. I guess this is my way, Hank, wait for it, to try and prove to you I'm not the weakest link when it comes to this, Jane.
There we go. Let's talk about the important thing that's going on right now. Going down memory lane, but let's talk about what's happening right now, here and now.
The here and now. The weakest link returning to our world. And so you are the host of this program. Is it the same? Are we getting the same drill pretty much? Is everything?
Absolutely. It's the exact same game because why mess with perfection?
Yes.
It's a quiz show. It's rapid fire trivia questions. You, being a smart guy.
Thank you.
With a wide berth of knowledge, would love it. So you need to watch it every week and you need to play from your couch while you're watching it. As you know, the reference level of the questions goes all over the place. It's history, it's science, it's math, it's arts, it's literature. And you need kind of like a fine general knowledge as well as grace under pressure because the clock is going and the stakes are high.
And in terms of your hosting of it, Jane, this is not your first hosting rodeo, as we know. That's
not my first rodeo.
Not at all. I've been there. I've been in the Hollywood Game Night set. I've played it with Al Michaels and everybody. I've been there and I've done that.
What fun that was. What a great episode that was.
That was
great.
A ton of fun, no doubt about it. So, but with you hosting this, do you channel your inner Anne Robinson or do you give your own twist on the You Are the Weakest Link goodbye? Do your own twist, Jane.
It certainly inspired me. I don't know if you watched it when it was on NBC in the early aughts.
Of course.
I loved it, and I loved her. So I'm sure she inspires me on some level. But, you know, I had to just – I think the smartest thing I could do was you don't imitate her. Just do your own brand.
Okay.
And so I did my own brand of you know, severe school marm, which comes to me kind of easily. And, so I lead with that.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
But you don't put a different accent like you are the weakest link or, you know.
Yes. Every once in a while I do. You know what our executive producer, Stuart, whispered in my ear once. He said, stress the word weakest. So I did that a few. You are the weakest link as opposed to the strongest link. So that works sometimes. You know what? It's organic. However I feel it, it comes out. You know what I'm saying?
So like your derision is real when you're kicking somebody's ass off, your weak ass off the show, right?
I don't even make eye contact with them. I just miss them, and they walk by me, and I don't look at them until they're going into the tunnel, which turns bright red as they're walking out, like they're going into Dante's Inferno, and they're walking into the pit of hell, and then I turn around and I stare at the back of them.
I hear you, Jane Lynch, because again, for me, I'm an aficionado of game shows and game show hosts.
I bet you are.
The move that Alex Trebek makes when somebody gets a question that they should have gotten wrong, okay? The thing that he does... The thing that he does is he gives the correct or question or answer, however you want to put it. He doesn't make eye contact. He reads the correct response off of a card and circles it or X's it out with his marker. And the squeaking noise that it makes is, to me, thoroughly intentional. I do not think it's unintentional at all.
He is so smooth and so good and so straight.
Yes.
You think there's nothing going on. So he does the slightest smolder, and it goes right through you.
You see, you know. You know.
Mm-hmm. You I know how to do that. Keeps everybody on their toes. They want to please me so badly.
Of course, you don't. They don't want to be the. They don't want to be the weakest link, because otherwise, then it's goodbye for them. I mean, you don't need to do that.
No.
It starts tonight at 8 Eastern on NBC, and episodes will be available right here on Peacock the following day as well. Yeah. Do you keep in touch with DeAndre Hopkins from the commercial that you did? Jane, do you and DeAndre keep in touch at all or no?
What commercial is that? Oh, my God, you're blowing my mind. It was DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah. Right? Wasn't that DeAndre in the NFL commercial that you did, Jane?
Oh, I did. Oh, my God.
You do so much.
Money, man. I don't know who I did it with. You know what's funny is we didn't do it together. Oh my God, I'm so
sure you did. No, you're sure you did it in one spot. He did it in another. They edited it together.
I mean. Exactly. That's right. Oh my God, how embarrassing. I'm like looking at the bottom line. What is this? And if I don't care. What's the bottom line? How much you get paid?
I just didn't know. I didn't know if you were in a fantasy league or anything like that sort of thing.
No. I have not. Oh, this is terrible. I shouldn't say this on your show, but I have not paid attention to football since 1985 when the Bears won the Super Bowl. And then they broke my heart for the next couple of years, and then I just gave up. I moved to Los Angeles, and I didn't. I have no more affinity.
Well, at least you went out with a blaze of glory. I mean, that's it's only one of the best teams of all time, Jane.
I mean, I loved them. Loved every one of them. I knew everything about every one of them.
So you must have loved the Super Bowl shuffle, I'm sure.
Absolutely. I loved the refrigerator, number 72, how he could jump from the ground all the way up onto a table. I don't know if you have William Perry. Have you ever saw him do that?
He
weighed about like 350 pounds, and he was able to dead jump onto the top of a table. Unbelievable.
I did not know. That must have been a very strong table.
Tell you that. Yes, it would have to be.
And then the punky QB, Jim McMahon, obviously.
Jim McMahon.
Sweetness.
Who had a lacerated kidney in one game and continued to play.
Wait a minute. I think we're going full circle here. If there's a kidney sample in Chicago.
Oh, for God's sake. There's a little kidney thing going on there.
Was it Jim McMahon's sample that got switched, Jane Lynch?
Oh, my, could it? We're connecting dots here like crazy.
We just went full circle. I don't know how I can ask you another question other than to say I love her. That's it. That's got to be a mic drop, right? Thanks for joining, Jane. You take care of yourself.
Pleasure.
This is great.
Thank
I always love our chats. And congrats on being part of this latest venture for you in your stellar career. I can't wait to watch it tonight and then tomorrow if I miss it on Peacock. Thanks for the call, Jane. You take care.
You bet. Take care.
You got it. Jane Lynch, everybody. God, I just love her. She makes me laugh, man.
Very delightful.
When she mentions about a kidney in Chicago,
you had to do it.
Sorry, The Fugitive. I will just geek out on The Fugitive. It's just the end of the story.
Also, that just proves how much you pay attention when the interviewee speaks.
No, are they?
No complaints here.
I listen and talk.
Here.
You don't listen just to speak.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. There is no I in TJ or Jefferson.
Not that I'm aware of.
You're a team player.
Rich, you are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Well, I'm definitely not when it comes to
I love
by
that.
The way.
Could we play that game, the four of us, somehow?
Well, how?
That was so
well,
good.
Well, I guess we can.
We can.
I mean,
it
we
was
could
so
do
much fun.
Easily odds on favorite who the weakest link is here.
No. I mixed that show. I would be phenomenal.
It's got nothing to do with me. No.
I mean,
got nothing to do.
I'm a quick guy.
First of all, it's got nothing to do with your audio executiveness. Although you gave me your glasses yesterday, and they make everything in front of you that much clearer. The fact that you don't use them for your current job makes me a little bit concerned about
your. In front of me.
I'm just talking about it's. These are trivia questions. These are questions of trivia. And your omnibus knowledge.
Omnibus.
Ooh, okay.
Big word.
What do you, it's not a big word.
That was one of our words I don't understand.
It was on Big Word Alert like, that we did.
Omnibus means you're all encompassing knowledge.
So yeah, we know it now because I actually said the definition.
That's the idea. It's kind of like Jeopardy in the fact that you've got to know a lot about everything. Otherwise, you could be the weakest link.
Goodbye.
Right.
Bank. That word you used to describe Donald Sterling.
Execrable.
Yeah, that one. I'm an English minor, and I.
That's a good word.
You got me on that.
Good word. Give the definition.
Well, I'm having some execrable. Internet issues at the moment.
Execrable.
So.
Execrable.
It just means terrible.
Of the worst variety.
Right. Actually, the example they used on dictionary.com is that it was an execrable wine. Terrible tasting wine.
I would never use execrable to say. I'd say that's turned, you know.
That's the music.
Is that it right there?
That was the music.
So you would play. So you would hit that button?
No, there were two of us in the booth for
that
show.
Wait a minute. Are you sure that sounds? No, that's Millionaire.
No.
It sounded like Millionaire.
That's Millionaire.
That's Weakest Link.
This is Weakest Link.
You are the Weakest Link.
Is that right?
Goodbye.
Rich. Trust me. I lived the show for, it was like,
all right.
That was in my mind.
So you'd hit the button.
I wouldn't do that. There were two people in the booth.
Oh.
There's a
so what did you do? Seriously, what did you do for the Weakest Link?
Okay. Phil Garen, who produced it.
Okay.
Phil Garen, who produced it. Yes. That was the first show that I kind of really mixed. That was a big number one show on TV. That and Millionaire were battling each other.
That's why I misconstrued the music sting, as they say.
My first day, I had to sit in that chair and mix it. The director, Bob Levy, had a heart attack the day before.
Oh.
He couldn't come in that day. I worked with a new director. First day I'm mixing the show. One of the hardest shows on TV at that point, because you have to follow it and get the, if you watch the show, it's a crazy show.
Right.
And the mics are moving fast because the people are going boom and bank and they're yelling.
Mm-hmm.
I think I missed like a bank.
Right.
Because you had to catch it.
Right.
Phil Garen comes in and goes, I know this is your first day, but he's got to catch the banks.
You got to catch
It was a hard show to miss.
So they didn't say goodbye to you?
The second guy. No, I didn't. No, I kept that job. I bought my house with that show.
Oh.
My first house in Encino was bought on The Weakest Link. I was telling Brockman.
But the house that The Weakest Link built?
Yeah. We worked 16 hours a day doing that show.
You clearly didn't miss any banks.
No, it was that
to
was
the bank.
Damn.
Drop a bomb on
between that and the syndicated. It was amazing.
Look at him.
God bless. It was a lot. Anne was amazing. Anne was so, when she would get into that, and Jane is probably perfect. I cannot wait to see Jane.
That'll be tonight, 8 Eastern. All right, you got the Big Word Alert, Don, and then we'll take a break. Okay, go for it. Hit cue Don, Mike.
Big Word Alert. Big Word Alert.
I have a lot of confidence in Coach Pagano.
All right, let's move to a little bit more of an omnibus portion of our conversation here, Coach Matt Nagy. First things first. Pass interference now being challenged. Now you can review this stuff. But
let's do this. Bye, Mike. Look it up.
Omnibus, an adjective pertaining to, including, or dealing with numerous objects or items at one time.
Omnibus, shopping for my big Sunday dinner, I had an omnibus grocery list.
I bet you did.
Big word alert. All right. The acting on this. These skits were just top notch.
No, it's more than to ask him like normal, really pointed questions as a Knicks fan that I want answers to try and have a rapprochement between him and Oakley. And have and bring them together so I can feel comfortable about going back to the garden.
Oh my gosh.
I'm more than happy to have him sit in this chair. I wouldn't badger the witness. As far as the Knicks are, as far as I'm concerned with the sports teams, let him go. Get him out of there. I'm telling the shareholders of MSG, you don't want this guy making decisions. So let him go play with his harmonica. Let him go. What, you need him? Unless they're saying for him to pay that much money at the very least, he needs to put down the harmonica. So I understand if you're a shareholder and you're like, that's an absurd amount of money, but.
These are great.
Rapprochement, a noun meaning the establishment or reestablishment of harmonious relations.
Rapprochement. After my crazy
ex-wife threw one of my Emmys at me, I knew there was no chance for rapprochement between us.
Mike, I'm proud of you. That was a big moment.
Thanks.
That was a big moment. Appreciate it. And that's it for today's Big Word Alerts. You're welcome.
Very good. A Ken Tulo special.
I mean, Tulo.
Ken Tulo production right there.
The acting is
the acting. Great.
Acting is great.
I should have gotten Emmys.
My favorite one is where you slap Del Tufo across the face.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah, there is one.
There is one that he's...
That's great. Oh. Okay, let's take a break. Come back. My four downs and your phone calls. I got three takes in the NFL currently through 3 weeks, and then a hot take. That's Woo! Coming up. Neil deGrasse Tyson, news update and more also still run our rundown. Old Spice now has Below Deck, a new line of products for your, well, below deck area. New Below Deck Powder Spray helps you feel drier and cleaner down below. New Below Deck Anti-Chafe Stick helps prevent inner thigh chafing. Nobody wants that. Available in the family planning aisle at Walmart or online at walmart.com/oldspicebelowdeck. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com, GEICO.com. Back here on Peacock, 844-204-RICH. We're about to take your phone calls. I've got my four downs as well that I do after every on every Tuesday at the conclusion of an NFL week. Neil deGrasse Tyson's going to join us.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
In hour number three here on this program, season three of Cosmos.
Amazing.
Cosmos Possible. Cosmos Possible World airs Tuesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern on Fox.
I'm Cosmo Kramer.
Do you remember Cosmos with Carl Sagan? Remember
yes.
Carl Sagan Cosmos?
Yeah.
That's before your time,
Brockman,
right, Chris?
Brockman.
Before my time.
That's what this show's based on, right? Yeah, I mean, I didn't.
Yeah, it was about science and Carl Sagan.
It was amazing.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, he's your host. He's got a million gajillion people following him on social media.
Interesting guy.
So, him chiming in on Deflategate 6 years too late would be great. We're back here on NBCSN. Please get Peacock starting next week. That's the only way you're going to see us, 12 to 3 Eastern time. PeacockTV.com. Download the app as well. It's very simple. It's very, very easy to do. Let's take some phone calls here for people who've been waiting for a while. Let's go to Nathan here in Los Angeles. How you been, Nathan?
I'm doing well. How are you, Rich?
What's going on? What's on your mind, brother?
A couple things. First of all, I love that you have both James Lynch and Neil deGrasse Tyson on the show.
That's where you roll.
I couldn't think of two people I have more enjoy more. By the way, I got to warn Brockman and Del Tufo there. If your heads are blowing up by the words that Rich is using, you just wait till Neil deGrasse Tyson drops a fact on you.
Big word alert. There's going to be a lot of big facts
alert coming up
in third hour. Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So my thoughts are on Kansas City from last night, and then if I have time, I have a real quick thought on Atlanta. The thing I think that Kansas City does that is so powerful is they render another team's success against them moot. And what I mean is they did it three times last night. Whenever the Ravens scored or did something big, the Kansas City Chiefs would immediately respond with a score every single time. You know,
yeah.
Whether it was the first drive where the Ravens go right down the field, score a field goal.
Right.
They get up right away. What does Kansas City do? They walk right. They get on the field. They march right down and score.
Right, exactly. And the reason why, and I do want to sneak in some other calls too, Nathan, and thank you for the call. We'll call back tomorrow. We'll get your thoughts on Atlanta. It's Mahomes. That's it. You got Mahomes. And the weaponry that you have and the game plan that you have and the coaching that you have, it's the perfect NFL offensive organism right now. They'll beat you deep. They'll beat you across. They'll make you – that one touchdown they had
last night where Mahomes kind of flipped it to the fullback, right? I tweeted out, like, what Rose Bowl is that from?
Yeah.
Okay? Because that was, you know, they put some crazy-ass play in the Super Bowl from inside the five from the 40-something Rose Bowl or whatever.
It seemed like a Wisconsin play.
And then later on in the game, they put Tyreek Hill as a single back behind Mahomes, and the whole world is thinking, okay, if Hill gets it, what are we going to do with that? But if Hill doesn't get it, what about Kelsey? What about this guy? What about that guy? And it was a screen to the fullback the entire time. Okay. Good Lord. Good Lord. And this guy's only getting more confident.
Yeah, oh yeah.
He's only getting more confident. He's now coming back. He's beginning to do the Jordan stuff of, like, counting on his fingers. He did that in the Super Bowl last year, of counting in what, or like, you know how Joe Burrow, like, pointed to his ring or what? Right. He's now counting off his touchdowns.
He did a their left jump.
Eric Fisher caught a touchdown. Yeah.
He did a jump fake pass yesterday just because. And then he scrambled for his first down.
Look out. Let's go to, by the way, we're going to put a pin in that for a second because you'll hear about it in four downs. And then Theo in Syracuse, New York, to set up my four downs. What's up, Theo?
Hey, how are you, Rich?
What's going on, brother?
I just wanted to say, after this week, man, Kyler Murray was like, I just don't think he's in the MVP conversation after this week. I just think, like, there's still an obvious level that he's got to get to. I think, like, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Mahomes, Josh Allen even so far has been just at, like, that one level, and he's just, I don't think he's there. He's a great runner, but he's just forcing throws that aren't there.
Well, and again, you have every right to say that Kyler looked, he looked occasionally ordinary by making those throws that he made. And he did, you know, undress Jeff Okuda to run into the end zone once. And last year, Lamar Jackson won the MVP going away. And he had a couple clunkers early on in the season, including against Cleveland in week three. So at home. So, you know, I'm not going to say that Murray's MVP candidacy is over. And thank you for the call. I can't say that. Let's see how he bounces back, because he does need a bounce back this week against the Carolina team that won its first. And is probably sitting there thinking at home, hey, we could go to 500 if we win this week against the Arizona Cardinals. Now, you know, I did say in my four downs after the Super Bowl last year that Murray would be top three. MVP final voting. Right now, that's currently Mahomes and clearly Russell Wilson with Rodgers thrown in. He's going to have to crack with Josh Allen.
And Josh Allen, too. Yeah.
Oh, he's going to have to crack it. He can't throw in many more of those clunkers, but that's how we're going to get to four downs here at the Rich Eisen Show.
Go.
Four downs with Rich.
Here we go. Why did you stop me?
Okay.
First down.
All right. Every single Tuesday, I give you my four takes on the NFL, three to my core and one that I do believe, but it's a hot take, total hot take. My first down right here is the Lions have got something cooking. Okay, the Lions have something cooking. I know that they blew it in the fourth quarter in week one, and that's such a Lions thing.
Yep.
And then in week two, got blown out by the Green Bay Packers. But what I saw with Kenny Golladay back on offense, along with Marvin Jones and this kid Hockenson at tight end, and Adrian Peterson currently 12th in the league in rushing. He had 75 yards rushing, and defensively, they confused the hell out of Kyler Murray, man. Kyler Murray was throwing it directly to some Detroit Lions, and they got him rattled, at least it seemed, or confused or whatever. But the Murray that we saw in the first 2 weeks did not show up in week three, and you've got to tip your cap to the Lions. Now, they've got a big assignment against the New Orleans Saints, who are, you know, at this point in time, you have to say, beatable. Then they go into a bye week with Jacksonville and Atlanta and Indianapolis and Minnesota and the Washington football team and Carolina right behind them. There's a ton of winnable games for this team that's sitting out there for the Detroit Lions. I think they've got something cooking based on what I saw. The Cardinals could not get off the field against Matthew Stafford in that fourth quarter. Matthew Stafford had him right where he wanted him, and they even had what a seemingly game-winning throw down to the 1 yard line, call back due to holding, and still won the football game. So Lions things were happening at the end of that game. That was my impression of that game. That's my first down. Let's go to second down. Right here. All right, Cleveland Browns, you're 2-1. Ooh. You're going to Dallas. Run the ball, Cleveland. Run the football. You've got your remade offensive line cooking, and you have the best running back tandem. Yes, best running back tandem in the National Football League behind you. Nick Chubb is fourth in the league in rushing with 292 yards. Kareem Hunt is 13th in the league in rushing with 204 yards. The only other team in the NFL to have two different players in the top 20 in rushing is Arizona, with none other than Kenyon Drake and Kyler Murray. So two running backs are right there sitting there for your disposal. You want to get Baker Mayfield chill and up and running and continue this thing forward in a positive way. Go to Dallas, run the football, keep Dak Prescott in his 60 attempts and 450 yards passing on the sideline, and run it. And hit him in the mouth like the Bills did on Thanksgiving last year. You've got the ability to hit people in the mouth. Run the ball, Cleveland. That's your way to win. And they could really win if they, because they've got the tools to do it. Third down.
Third down.
Get the laugh ready, Mike Del Tufo. Get the laugh ready.
Uh-oh.
Which one?
Because Gronk is alive. Zombie Gronk showed up the first 2 weeks. But that guy is alive. Gronk had 7 targets, all right, in week 3. And I think we're beginning to see Brady look for Gronk. And, it, you know, I know Godwin got hurt again. My goodness, if he can only stay healthy.
Yeah.
But the Brady-Gronk connection showed up in week 3 in Denver. And I'm going to keep an eye on all that, because if Gronk is alive and Gronk shows up, I know he was, I guess, having his fun prior to week 3, saying, I'm here to block, baby.
The blocking,
I'm just here to
tight
block.
End, yeah.
Everybody keep believing that, because that's the way that the Bucs can start get cooking on offense. Brady to Gronk starts getting rolling. The running game gets rolling. The receivers stay healthy. Scotty Miller had a really good game in Denver. Gronk's alive, I tell you. That's thing. One thing I took from week 3 is Gronk, zombie Gronk is gone, and Gronk is beginning to come to life. That guy.
That is so creepy.
Okay, fourth, it is creepy. Down. Fourth down. Here we go.
Oh, baby, fourth down. Oh, it's my favorite part of the week. It's the fourth down hot take plank.
As you know here, I don't just like to make hot takes. I like to give advice, and I like to follow up with actual, real advice that you can follow. All right?
The mask is great.
I'll just throw it out. Oh, I mean, it's protocol.
Yeah. I missed that.
All right, so here's the deal. Here's the deal.
Okay.
The Jets stink on ice.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
they're bad. They stink on ice, to use the phrase in New York.
Thursday night football.
The problem for the Jets is their co-tenants also stink on ice. All right? And right now, there's a battle for the worst record in the NFL, and the Jets better not blow it. Because yesterday, I declared Sam Darnold officially broken by the Jets. He's officially broken. So here's what they have to do. They've got a tank for Trevor, and then hire Eric Bieniemy.
Oh.
And hook up Bieniemy and what the Chiefs are doing with Mahomes to a guy who could be Mahomes 2.0, even taller version, okay?
Hook, can play up, so what?
Hook Bieniemy up with this guy, and here's how they tank after they lose to Jeff Driscoll. They basically say, Sam needs some time off. Get him out of there, because you don't want him ruined for whatever you're going to get in response for another team for Sam Darnold when you finally let him fly and be free. Get him out of there and start losing games with your backup. And if you're accused of being tanking for Trevor, you basically say, we just need to give Sam some time off. We got to see. I don't even know who the hell their backup is. I don't even care. I know Flacco's third string. We need to see what we've got and fill in a blank. I don't care who it is. It could be zombie Gronk. I'm a Jet fan. I don't even know who the hell the backup is. And thank God, because we don't know it, because we might actually see it, that person out there, because Sam Darnold's going to get absolutely smothered. Tank for Trevor. Get Eric Bieniemy. Rip the knob off and go into the next decade and beyond and win the AFC East every single year like the Patriots did.
Wow, that's a good plan, actually.
That's my fourth down. Well, it's a hot take to do that.
And your backup might actually be Joe Flacco. You have James Morgan and Mike White on the roster.
Well, we need to see what we have in Mike White. I need to see what we've got in Captain Morgan. Make him a captain. Captain Morgan. Make some money off of some sort of deal. Captain right? Morgan. And then you know, brought to you by this tank job, brought to you by Captain Morgan. And we all drink it to get through the whole experience.
I love it.
To make us numb. Neil deGrasse Tyson and your phone calls and Chris Brockman's news update, hour number three here on the show.
Welcome to the MRP.
Yeah.
The Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
Let me start this thing off. Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.